Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 2. Tonight we're going to read about the wise men as they worshiped Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, please? Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you in Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne of grace, asking for your guidance as we look into your word. Teach us from your word, Lord, that we may grow in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're all familiar with this account of the wise men as they went to visit Jesus. The text says they came to worship him. So if we ask the question, why were they there? They're there to worship Jesus. Which causes another question. What does it mean to worship? The term literally means to bow down. Or prostrate oneself before someone superior. It carries the idea of surrender and submission. It means that you defer yourself to one that's greater than you. These men were obviously men of importance, men of wealth, power, and prominence. And they're seeking a baby so they can basically bow before this child. And honor him as the king of the Jews. But they didn't stop there. It did not end with just them bowing. But they also presented gifts. And that's what I want to look at tonight is the gifts that they presented. And let me ask you, are you finished with your Christmas shopping? Amen. It's done. Praise the Lord. Right? What'd you get, Jesus? That's what I want to talk about tonight. What can we get the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? And actually, it's not what we can get Him. It's what we can give Him. And we started by looking at what these wise men presented to Jesus. And we're challenged first to give Jesus our gold. That's what the wise men did. They bowed before Him. They presented Jesus gold, which is an appropriate gift for royalty. And it represents the value of the one that you're giving it to. It says that this one is worthy of the best of the best. The most expensive of the expensive. And so when we take that and we apply that toward what we're going to give Jesus during this Christmas season, I think you should go spend all your cash, buy gold, and give it to the church. And I don't think that's happening to you. No, that's not it. But you know what? there is an interesting scripture of something more precious than gold that I want to challenge you. Let's give this to Jesus, okay? And that scripture is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, the honor, the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." What is the gift greater than gold? Well, in 1 Peter it says that it's the genuineness of your faith. That word genuineness means a tested or the result of a tested or proven faith. As we look into the new year, the year days ahead, I want to challenge you. Okay? Here's the fact. In the coming days, your faith will be tested. Okay? Some of those tests may be a test by fire. It may push you to the very limits. And as I look at our past, I can't help but remember some of the tests that people have failed. When they were faced with the fire and their faith was challenged, they just fell out of church. They just quit. And let me tell you something, in case there's ever a question, when your faith is being challenged, that is not the time to get out of church. Amen. That's the time to be more faithful in church. The question you've got to ask, or you must answer, as we go through these trials, is Jesus worth a genuine faith? Just like the wise men, as they presented that gift of gold, which was appropriate for royalty, appropriate for the Son of God, they had to decide that this King of the Jews was worthy of that gold. We've got to ask, is the King of the Jews worthy of a genuine faith that is more precious in the sight of God than even gold? Listen, I've made this comment several times. You're either going through a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go back into a storm, you know. It's not will the storm come. It's what do you do when the storm comes. My challenge, first of all, you see, and this gift, you can't just give today, bow before and say, "Lord, I give you my faithfulness." This is a gift that'll be tested throughout the year. You know? So at this time next year, when we gather and we have a Christmas service, I pray that we can all say, "Yes, I faced the challenges of the year. And to the glory of God, my faith has been proven be genuine toward the Lord Jesus Christ." Number one, let's give God the gift, or let's give Jesus the gift of a genuine faith. Number two, they gave Jesus frankincense. Of course, we know what that is. It was a tree resin used to make incense, and incense were burned to create a pleasant aroma. It was part of the Old Testament worship system. In the temple, they had the altar of incense, and in association with sacrifices, they would offer incense on that altar, and it was representing a precious, a sweet aroma before God. But even deeper than that, it wasn't a religious exercise. It was a representation of the prayers of the saints. Second thing we can give Jesus, as we understand what incense represents, we read Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, and the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." What did the incense represent? I believe that represents the prayers of the saints. So as we prepare to give Jesus something this year, let's prepare to give Him a prayer life that is better than the one we had last year. See, Jesus Himself repeatedly would go to a quiet place or escape to a mountain, a secluded place to pray. And it's at this point, I want to challenge you, what's your prayer life like? And I'm not talking about that prayer life where before you eat, you ask the blessing, which is great. Please don't quit that if that's what you do. And if it's not what you do, please start. But I'm talking about where you escape and you close the door behind you and it is just you and God. Where you pour out your very soul and your heart before God who really does care. I think we are very confused about what a prayer life is supposed to look like. And I think the first step toward understanding that prayer life is understanding the fact that God wants to hear from you. Isn't it awesome that the God of this universe just wants to hear from you? That just kind of makes me stand back and say, but wow, Lord, I don't know anything. What could I possibly tell you? What could I say that would honor you, Lord? Why do you want to hear from me? I'll tell you why He wants to hear from me. Because He loves me. And He loves you. And there's no magic formula where you build this long prayer where God's imprint. No. God just wants to hear from you. You know, and I've mentioned this several times, but I'll mention it again because I can't help it. One of the joys of my life at this point is being a grandparent. I love being pops. And when I go see my grandkids or my grandkids come to see me, you know one of the joys that I have is for them to speak to me. And I will ask my kids, I'll ask my grandkids, did you go to school today? They'll tell me, oh yes. What did you learn in school today? And you know, it's like they're going to tell me something profound. No. They're going to tell me some little friend that they had was mean to somebody else. Or they're going to tell me that they colored. Or they're going to tell me that their teacher said that they could read. And you know, is my world going to be turned upside down by what they tell me? No, I just want to hear them speak to me. That's the way God is. God wants to hear you speak to Him. He's not concerned of the these and the thous and the pretty words and the flowers that we try to throw in. God wants to hear from us. And do you realize that Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, was all about giving us an avenue for God to hear from us? Because without Jesus Christ, there is no avenue to the Father. And the life and the death of Jesus was all about giving you the privilege of going before your Heavenly Father who wants to hear from you. Can you tell Him anything He does not know? Absolutely not. Can you inform Him of something that's going to make Him any better? Absolutely not. But He just wants to hear from you. So if you want to give Jesus something this year, let's give Him incense. Let's give Him the prayers of the saints. Where we share our hurts. If we're hurting, let's pray. If we're happy, let's pray. If we're discouraged, let's pray. If we're in situations that we don't know what to do, let's pray. Whatever or wherever we find ourselves, let us find ourselves in a never-ending prayer life. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. Then finally, the third thing that these wise men gave. They gave Jesus myrrh. Myrrh, of course, was used in the embalming process or the process of preparing people for their grave. I believe it pointed to the death that this child would endure to pay for the sin of mankind. We know that Jesus would lay down His life so that we could have eternal life. But what does this myrrh mean to us? Well, if you look in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ compels us by the mercies of God that you present." I'm sorry. "For the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." The myrrh pointing to the death of Jesus reminds us that we have died to self, and now it is our place, our position in Christ, to live to the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said in the book of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service. Understand what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice is not something that you throw a little spare change out if it's convenient. A sacrifice is not taking 10 minutes and doing something kind for someone. A sacrifice is a whole, an all or nothing kind of thing. So when Paul challenges us, you know, present your body a living sacrifice, the idea is that you let go of everything that is you, that you let go of your desires, of your wants, of your, and you turn all that you are over to Jesus Christ. That is a living sacrifice. That you withhold nothing. If God says go, you're ready to go. If God says stay, you're ready to stay. If God says serve, you're ready to serve. If God says do this, you're ready to do that. You're like the prophet Isaiah who said, "Lord, here am I, send me." That, my friends, is a living sacrifice. You know, and I started this message with, what are you going to get, Jesus? I mean, let's face it. What do we get, God? There's nothing we can get God. But we can give Him a lot. We can give Him all that we are. We can live to His glory, not our own. That's the challenge of this Christmas. Let's not leave Jesus out of it. I mean, it's wonderful to have a, you know, Christmas service. And I'm looking forward to Tuesday night when we have our Christmas Eve service. That'll be wonderful. But you know what's even better? It's when we apply these things to our daily lives. That once this Christmas season is over, we're still in that spirit of being a living sacrifice before a holy God. That we're still desiring to say, "Lord, lead me. Wherever you lead, I'll go." Because that's what Jesus expects. That's what Jesus wants of His children. And you know what I've discovered? Again, and I've told you this before, but I've got to say it again at this point. For some reason, the idea of saying, "Jesus, whatever you want, that's what I want. Wherever you want me to go, that's where I want to go. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do." People are scared, afraid to say that. Because they're afraid Jesus is going to ask them to do something they don't want to do. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is not trying to ruin our lives. He's trying to bring joy. And what you will discover, what I discover, that when I truly present myself a living sacrifice before a holy God that loves me very much, He's not going to mess up my life. He's going to make it worth living. You know? Challenge. Let's give to Jesus this Christmas season. Let's give Him our all because He's worthy. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you the love of Jesus Christ, where Jesus, God in the flesh, came to this earth and lived and went Himself to a cross called Calvary, where He suffered and bled and died to take the punishment for your sin. so that you can have eternal life. See, there's a fact in life. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And if you think you're good enough to go to heaven, you're mistaken. Okay? Because all have sinned. Your only hope is God, who sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? If not, tonight's the night. Because I go back to what I said just a moment ago. You're going to die. And when you stand before God, and if God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? Soon as you say, well, I did the best I could, you'll hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, I was a good man, I gave to charity, depart from me, I never knew you. But my friend, when you plead the blood of Jesus Christ in my hand, no price I bring, simply to the cross I claim. When you plead the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll hear the words, enter, my child. Loved, if you're not saved, will you respond to the invitation tonight? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your word and for the reminder. Lord, often it's so easy to celebrate holidays and especially Christmas. And we thank you for the celebration and the opportunity to enjoy family and church family and these special services. But help us to remember that we have a responsibility as your children, Lord, to present ourselves to you a living sacrifice. And help us, Lord, to be faithful through the year. Help us to honor you with our lives. And help us to honor you by daily, Lord, going to you in prayer. Help us, Lord, that we truly may be a living sacrifice. We love you and we praise you for everything in Jesus' name.